الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أمات وأحيا وأمحك وأبقى وأنزل الماء وأجرى له الحمد في الآخرة والأولى وله الحمد ما أعطى وما أهدى وأنه هو رب الشعرى سبحان من إله عظيم سبحان من إله رحيم يغفر الذنوب ولا يبالي لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله بها نحيا وبها نموت وبها نوالي أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا صدق الله عليه وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم عجبا لأمر المؤمن وليس ذلك لأحد إلا لمؤمن فإن أصابته السراء فشكر فكان خيرا له وإن أصابته الضراء فصبر فكان خيرا له أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام All praise and glory be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Creator, Nourisher, Sustainer, Provider, Protector and Controller of every single thing exists Peace and salutation be upon our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his family members, companions upon every single Muslim brothers and sisters who followed and who is following and who will follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, I request and remind and advise each and every one of us to obey and to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey and follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to stay away and abstain from all those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prevented us and live a life of taqwa in every condition and every moment and every situation in your life My dear respected brothers and elders in Islam as Muslims in this country we are a minority community with the ni'mah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have managed to survive for past 1,000 years Many historians have written that Muslims exist in this country for past 1,000 years in various trials and turbulence, various situations, we have survived to maintain our identity and we have survived to maintain our Islam. We have survived to maintain almost 80% of every aspect of Islamic life. If we go through in the history, Now we can see there are certain countries, there are certain communities where they have lost their identity as Muslims. Some even they have lost the entire religion totally. If we take the migration which took place in 18th century to South America, from Lebanon, Jordan, Yemen, Syria, from this part of the world in 18th century, not far ago, we are in 20th century, 2 centuries before. In 18th century, there were a lot of Muslim Arabs, even some who are family members of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who migrated from that Arab world to the South America, that is Chile, Brazil, and this part of the, American region. And some Muslims who traveled from West Africa, who migrated from West Africa, and they also settled themselves in South America. Within 2 centuries, they have lost not only the identity as Muslims, even they have lost the entire religion. The grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, they are saying that our forefathers, we have heard that they were Muslims. My grandfather was a Muslim. We hear certain incidents. My Ustaz visited day one, and he said he visited a house where the right around the house is written and ingrained with the Quranic verses. The house is decorated by the Quranic verses, but the people who are living in the house, they don't even know what it is. They have lost the identity and the entire Islam totally. my respected brothers and elders in Islam, what I'm trying to say, what was the uniqueness that we as a minority community maintained, and what was the amal and the practice our forefathers did, that in order to protect Islam in this country, not only the Iman and Kalima, Alhamdulillah, even by the dress code, we can still even see Islamic dress codes are available and present in our society. அன்பான சகோதரர்களே, அல்லாஹ்வின் நல்லடியார்களே, என்னுடைய ஜும்மாவுடைய சுருக்கம் என்னென்னா, நாம் இந்த நாட்டில் ஆயிரம் வருடங்களாக முஸ்லீம்களாக ஒரு என்னை சிறுபான்மையாக வாழ்ந்து கொண்டிருக்கோம். ஆயிரம் வருடங்களாக எங்களுடைய இஸ்லாத்தையும் எங்களுடைய தலித்துவத்தையும் பாதுகாத்து இவ்வளவு காலமும் இஸ்லாம் வளரக்கூடிய ஒரு நாடாக மாறினத்துக்கு எங்களால் எங்களுடைய மூதாதைகள் செஞ்ச அமல்கள் என்ன, அவர்கள் தெரிந்த எந்த விடயங்களை அவர்கள் செய்தார்கள், ஈமானை எவ்வாறு அவர்கள் பாதுகாத்தார்கள். ஏன் இதை நான் சொல்றேன்டா, சவுத் அமெரிக்கா என்ற அந்த ரீஜனில் பல முஸ்லீம்கள் பதினெட்டாம் நூற்றாண்டு ரெண்டு நூற்றாண்டுக்கு முன்னால், நாங்கள் 20th century இருக்கிறோம், 18th century அரபிகள் அவங்க இடம் சேர்ந்து சவுத் அமெரிக்கால போயிட்டு வாழ்ந்தார்கள். இப்பொழுது அவர்களுடைய ஐடென்டிட்டியை சம்பூர்ணமாக இஸ்லாத்தையும் இழந்தவர்களாக, ஈமானையும் இழந்தவர்களாக, கலிமாவையும் இழந்தவர்களாக வாழ்ந்து கொண்டிருக்கிறார்கள். அவர்களுக்கு இல்லாத அல்லாஹ் எங்களுக்கு தந்த அந்த நியமத், நாம் எங்களுடைய மூதாதைகள் செஞ்ச அமல் என்ன. And likewise we can go back to the history of Europe. Over 600 to 800 years Muslim ruled those part of the world. Muslims have ruled that part of the world, but Islam has gone away step by step in their lives. Alhamdulillah, they are still maintaining the kalima, they still survive to maintain the salah, but all the other aspects of Islam has gone. Recently, a scholar from Medina University, he was present here for one of the, you know, training of Quranic reading training. He said, it was so strange, I found in France, when he went and found young children are playing, Muslim children, when he went and greeted them, Assalamu alaikum, he never got a reply. The young children never replied saying, Wa alaikum assalam. He was very much surprised, he thought that they didn't hear him. Second time, he was saying the salam, Assalamu alaikum. He repeated 3 times and still he never got a reply. And the young children were stunned. They were just looking like this man is talking something, you know, very strange. And he found some of the children who are playing, the children of certain ulamas who are attending his conference. Ulamas, the scholars of France, they're attending, some of their children are also playing. And then one of the scholars came out and he said, you know, our children, they don't know salam alaikum, they don't bonjour. You tell them bonjour, they reply. They don't know the greeting of Islam, but they know the greeting of French. She said, how far they have lost even the basic greeting of Islam. What was the reason behind it? Why did they lose that? And what was the unique practice that we Muslims here have, you know, maintained, and our forefathers have maintained and brought us to that situation? Why I am saying that, if we are not going to realize that, and if we're not going to identify those amal and those practice and keep on maintaining, for next 100 years is going to be a question mark in our Islam in this country. For next century, we're going to put a question mark whether our children are going to adopt the Islamic way of life and implement Iman in every part of their life. ஏன் நான் இந்த விஷயத்தை சொல்றேன்டா, நாம் இந்த விடயங்கள் இந்த நாட்டில் இஸ்லாத்தை பாதுகாப்பது இதன் மூலமாக இஸ்லாத்துடைய எல்லா அம்சங்களும் 80% இஸ்லாத்துடைய அதிகமான விடயங்கள் பாதுகாக்கப்பட்டிருக்கு. எங்களுடைய மூதாதைகள் உலமாக்கள் செஞ்ச பணி என்ன, இதை நாம் ஐடென்டிஃபை பண்ணாம நாங்கள் அதை புறக்கணிச்சோம் இல்லா, இன்னும் அதை ஐடென்டிஃபை பண்ணி அதற்குரிய கிட்டத்தை எந்த அளவுக்கு எங்களுக்கு கூட்ட முடியுமோ அந்த அளவுக்கு எங்களுக்கு வரக்கூடிய 100 வருடங்கள் எங்களுக்கு ஒரு கேரண்டி கொடுக்கலாம், எங்களோட பிள்ளைகள் முஸ்லீம்களாக இந்த நாட்டில் வாழ்வார்கள். அப்படி இல்லைன்னு சொன்னால், அன்பாந்த சகோதரர்களே, காலப்போக்கில் அவர்கள் இருக்கக்கூடிய இந்த பிட்னாலும் இந்த கரப்ஷன்லையும் காலப்போக்கில் இஸ்லாத்துடைய ஒவ்வொரு சின்ன பகுதியையும் விட ஆரம்பிப்பார்கள், புறக்கணிக்க ஆரம்பிப்பார்கள். காலப்போக்கில்
இஸ்லாம் ஒரு பேர் அமைப்புல மட்டும்தான் இருக்கும். நான் ஒரு முஸ்லீம், பள்ளிக்கு போவேன், வெள்ளிக்கிழமை சொல்லுவேன், அதோட முடிஞ்சு என் இஸ்லாம் பள்ளியோடையும் என் பேரோடையும் பர்த் சர்டிபிகேட் முடிஞ்சு வேற எதுலையும் என்னுடைய இஸ்லாத்தை கண்டு கொள்ள முடியாது. So my respected brothers, I landed in Islam according to my analysis. What I have found, there are certain elements and certain factors that made us survive in this community for a longer period of life. And this credit goes to all different type of movements. No one can say, because of us, this, you know, Islam has survived. Because of us, Islam has survived. No movement individually can claim the credit for the survival of Islam in this country. Every movement has the equal credit and equal point given to them, because according to the time, everyone, they have done their efforts, and every ulama, they have strived so that we have got this. So my dear respected brothers and elders in Islam, first thing that our parents, our forefathers, they never fail to remind us about Islam, about Allah and Rasul from the time of birth. We used to always see those days. What we used to see, when they even used to rock the children, their baby, cuddle them when they were in cradle, what they say, La ilaha illallah. This was the song which was sung by our forefathers, our grandparents, in order to soothe us and put us to sleep. La ilaha illallah. While the breastfeeding, this kalima was read. The love of Allah and love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ingrained from the household, from mother to the child. When the mother was pregnant, mother was expecting, from every moment this kalima was mentioned. This was given life. In every moment people used to mention this, and the survival of Islamic spirit was this. But my respected brothers and elders in Islam, why I am saying this, it is quite unfortunate. We are facing in this current situation with this development, our, you know, the young generation, the current parents have forgotten to do that. We hardly find they are doing this. What they are doing, they have now Islamic CDs, you know, Islamic songs. We say it is Islamic song, they play the CD in order to make the child sleep. In order to make the child sleep. My respected brothers, and I have seen on my own hand, some parents even put the Qira or song in the mobile phone and they give it to the child hold the phone and listen to that and sleep. There should be a connection and the love of transmitting of love from the mother's mouth to the child directly. The mother has to say this kalima continuously. Mother has to utter this words of kalima continuously. The practice, the Islamic environment has to be found at home. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, wherever the child goes, after the child has reached the adulthood, then we can find child have a very strong foundation. The child has a very strong foundation. The child always relates that. Always, whenever a circumstance has come where his iman is in trouble, he relates back to knows, in this situation only my father. We see some families, when they have a practice, when they fall, they will call a saint's name. How did the child get the practice? For example, in some families, when immediately they fall or get a pain, instead of saying, Ya Allah, they say, Ya Muhyiddin. You know, there's another argument. Can you call Ya Muhyiddin or Ya Allah is another argument. What I'm saying, how did the child get that practice? Through the environment. At home, the child found whenever our parents used to get hurt, whenever parents in fall and trouble, they used to scream Allah and say Ya Muhyiddin or Ya Allah. When they hear that, this is automatically ingrained in that child. When child is walking, he can be anywhere in the world. Any part of the world, he makes some disaster or difficult situation, automatically the word Allah will come out of his mouth. That was through the environment that was found in his childhood. Are we maintaining this Islamic environment at home? This is my question. If we are not going to do that, now what is happening? Our children are educating themselves in English language. Nothing wrong. Islam doesn't restrict yourself. Only you should learn in this language, nothing wrong. But when you learn a language, certain cultures, language carries, you know, the 50% of the culture of those people who have introduced the language to the world. automatically it carries. Even a child who, when he speaks in Tamil, when he has a language, he might say assalamu alaikum. But when he is speaking to you in English, he will say hello, how are you, bye. What? That is the culture that automatically will ingrain onto them, yes, because that was the culture of the Englishman. Language carries the culture. Language will introduce the culture automatically, the practice and the behavior of the people. So you know, in this country, we always found, you know, our Arab world and the ambassadors, they have failed that. But all the other embassies have, you know, they have succeeded that. When it comes to British Council, they make lot of, you know, they give lot of importance in, you know, reviving the English language in this country. When you go and see the French embassy, they teach French language free. Within 6 months, we find people who go to the classes, they speak in French. What is the reason? They are promoting their culture through their language. They are promoting the culture through the language. So why I am warning you, through the language, we might change the Islamic culture. We might change the Islamic behavior. We can speak English, we can speak French, we can speak whatever language we want, but maintain the Islamic identity. Maintain the Islamic way of akhlaq and implement Iman in every part of your life. We need to implement Iman in every way. Not only in masjid, they should Iman is required. Iman is required in every moment. When Israel alayhi salam comes to take your life, the rope, at that moment you have to be with Iman. And how do we implement Iman in every part of our life? This is another thing that we need to always think and conduct. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, first, the life of Iman and the Islamic practice was given through the family. Alhamdulillah, we are managing to, you know, maintain the Islamic identity through that. Second, the ulamas who lived in that era, they were always looking at the problem of the society. Whenever the society was going away from Islam, away from Deen, they were warning. According to that situation, they were planning different ways to attract people towards the masjid. They always kept our Muslim community connected to the masjid. Alhamdulillah, for past 1,000 years, we have maintained to develop over 2,500 masjids in this country. This is one of the great success that Allah has given us, that our scholars, whenever they feel a need, they said that our people have to come towards the masjid, and they gather the people in different forms. In initial stage, we found the tariqahs. They used to have in a different month, different occasion, and by naming different occasions, and they used to feed the people, feed them and invite everyone towards the masjid, and they used to ingrain and give the message of Allah and the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through that, Islam has survived. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, all the ulamas who were there at that time, who were maintaining this tariqah, it can be Shazili, Qadiri, any tariqah, Naqshbandi, they have done their job at that time. Alhamdulillah, if you drive through down south, in every masjid you can see the name. By the name you will identify, this masjid was established by a person who was following an Islamic school. It is not a fiqhi different, an Islamic way of life. In may come to obedience to, you know, committing himself to a tariqah, we can see that. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, the third thing that was giving life of Islam is the madrasas. Not the Arabic madrasas that I am calling, that is the madrasas which used to take place in the masjid. Alif Ba Ta. Every learned person, whatever knowledge he had, whatever letter he knew, he used to teach it to others. Even those imams and the muazzins in the masjid, for a small, you know, salary, even sometimes not even taking anything, they used to be there and teach the Quran for our children. And this connection was there in every community. Wherever they went, they established a small masjid and they established a small madrasa to teach the Quran and the kalima even in a small way. This always gave the life, a life for the Islam and maintaining Islam in that society, in that community. And my respected brothers and elders in Islam, and then other form of Arabic colleges and the ulamas, and they all gave life for these Islamic activities in our community. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, we need to maintain this, and now we need to think in a 20th century,
how to address this problem. Now we are in here in a khutbah. Now our young generation is facing a great problem, is a problem of media. You know, our young boy or young girl, that boy or girl will be mourned according to the information what that young man or girl gets. Oru valipar eduthanda allo varakoodi oru pilla eduthanda andha pillaikku kedaikka koodiya information seidhigalin adippadiyil dhaan andha pillaiyudaiya sindhana pongum andha pillaiyudaiya nadavadikkeyilum maarrathanaan kaandum. இந்த காலத்தில் அந்த மீடியா என்று சொல்லக்கூடிய இன்ஃபர்மேஷன் டெக்னாலஜி இன்ஃபர்மேஷன் வந்து அதிகமாக ஆதிக்கம் செலுத்திக் கொண்டிருக்குது. எங்களுடைய வாலிபர் உலமாக்களும் முஸ்லீம்களும் உலமாக்களும் முஸ்லீம் தலைவர்களும் அந்த மீடியாவிற்கும் தூரமாக இருக்கிறார்கள். எந்த அமைப்பில் நாங்கள் இருக்கிறோம் என்றால் மீடியாவுக்கும் இஸ்லாமுக்கும் எந்த தொடர்பும் இல்லை. அந்த அமைப்பில் இருக்கிறோம், மீடியாவுக்கும் இஸ்லாமுக்கும் தொடர்பு இல்லை. அந்த அமைப்புல சில கருத்து பாங்குடன் நாம் இருந்து கொண்டிருக்கிறோம். இந்த மீடியாவின் மூலமாகத்தான் தவறான செய்திகள் எங்களுடைய வாலிபர்களுடைய உள்ளத்துக்கு கொடுக்கப்படுது, தவறான மெசேஜ்கள் கொடுக்கப்படுது. Wrong information has been given. Their attitude is changing due to the information what they are getting. So now we have another challenge. At that time, whatever challenge our scholars and elders had, they face all those challenges and they, you know, they counter-attack in a different way how to attract the people towards the masjid. Now my respected brothers and elders in Islam, now we need to target in that way as well and keep our young child always in touch with Islam and religion and give them the proper message of Islam. This is one of the duties and responsibility of the people who are living in this 21st century, that we are living in this era, that we need to attack this, we need to counter-attack and we need to survive and maintain the Islamic identity. One of the problems that our young generation is facing is identity crisis. Who am I? Who am I? Am I want to be an American? I want to be a British? Or what has happened? The identity problem. Who am I? Who I want to be? Am I Muslim? If I am Muslim, what do I supposed to do? These are the questions which our young generation are facing. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, we need to maintain all this. It can be the masjid, maktabs and madrasas, and all the institutions and all the movement who is striving to maintain the Islam and the life, we need to always give life for that. And my respected brothers and elders in Islam, another important message that I want to give it to you. Iman and Islam is not only inside the masjid and not only at our home and when it comes to marriage and janaza and salah. Normally we have so much of different opinions. When it comes to janaza, we have lots of arguments. Whether to keep the janaza of the mayyat hand as a takbir, you know, tying the takbir or leaving it down. What is the correct opinion? We have. When it comes to a salah, we have different opinions and we have different arguments. But Islam is not all about only janaza and kitabu salah. It is all aspect of life. From the birth, from the cradle to the grave. Every situation, every man and woman who is going to, you know, say, in every situation, Islam has given a guidance. We need to implement iman in every way. For example, I'm saying, now we are walking in the street. We're walking in the street. How can we connect the iman with walking in the street? While we are walking, passing a street, walking through, how can we connect it? I'll give you a few examples. In Quran and Hadith, it says, it's a part of Iman, and it is the lowest category of Iman, that when you remove something which harms others, it is the lowest category of Iman. When you're walking in the park, it is part of Iman. If you are a Muslim and Mu'min, you are walking past something which is harming others, and if you don't remove, that means you have not implemented that iman which you had in salah in when you are walking in the street. You are walking in the street. Iman, Islam and Quran says what? O believers, O men and women, lower your gaze. If you don't lower your gaze, that means you have not implemented iman while, you know, cycling. Okay, we may lower our gaze in the street, in the front of the screen, in TV, in, you know, in computer, now mobile phone, some, you know, pictures and or figures which we are not supposed to see. When it appears, what we supposed to do?
rule implemented, we need to know our gain things.
Walking in the park, walking by several houses, Islam says you should not peep into the house. Should not, your eyesight should not go into the house without the permission of the owner of the house. This is what Islam says. So in every part of our life, we need to connect the Iman with our practical life. We need to connect our Iman and Islam with our practical life. It can be in our business dealing. It can be our business dealing. Then how can we connect our Iman and, you know, Iman to our business transaction? How can we connect our Iman with our family life? How can I connect with your Iman with the interacting with your neighbors and family members? This is what all about Islam. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, one thing, alhamdulillah, we have survived to maintain our identity and Islam, alhamdulillah. Very rare incident, not even one person, not even half a person of our population who has gone out of Islam, alhamdulillah. But we have failed in another area. That is another responsibility. Introducing our Islam to our fellow brothers who are living around us. We have failed in that. We are going to school, we are mixed school. Muslim, non-Muslim, you know, Muslim, Christian, Hindus, Buddhists, all study together. Have we have, you know, create an impact on their life? Are they looking up to us? We are working in an environment. We are working in an environment of mixed culture. Have we have created an impact and are they, you know, looking up to us? We are living in an environment which is mixed. Our neighbors are non-Muslim. Our neighbors are non-Muslim. Have we created that? No. But we have done one thing. We have not introduced the akhlaq of Islam. We have not introduced, you know, the etiquette of Islam. We have not introduced anything of Islam. But we have introduced our waslapam for this. They know that the Muslims, yes, the Muslim festival is coming, we will get nice waslapam. And they know Muslim festival is coming, we will get nice tasty biryani. You know, they say always, I have a lot of friends, they will always say, you know, how much ever we try, our women can't cook tasty like your women. You know, your women can cook so, food is so delicious. We have introduced all these things. We have introduced all this, you know, our food, different things, but we have failed to introduce Islamic way of life. We have failed to introduce, in fact, there are certain bad practices that we have borrowed from their culture. When it comes to marriage, when it comes to wedding ceremony, so many things that we are practicing. You say we are Muslims, but so many things that we do, that we are imitating the Hindus. When it comes to marriage, so many things. And we have our women, they say if you don't do it, then it is the end of the day. You know that marriage will become a janaza house. This so much they stick to it. So if I am saying in Tamil, you need to tali kettata unum, kettati and the maya, angane ki maya tu daandum, kalyanu du maya tu daandum. So much we sticking to certain practices which we have taken from non-Muslim and we have failed to introduce our Islamic way of life to them. When it comes to taking dowry, how much it has impact on the life, even in our marriage certificate it has mentioned a column, how much dowry did you take? How much dowry did you take? Dowry is not part of Islam. It is haram. சீதனம் என்றது அது ஹராம். எப்படி ஒருத்தர் சாமனத்தை பொருட்களை கலவரிக்க எப்படி ஹராமோ, அதே போல ஒரு ஹராம் தான். யாரெல்லாம் சீதனம் எடுத்து அந்த வீட்டில் வாழ்றீங்களோ ஹராத்துல வாழ்ந்து கொண்டிருக்கு. அந்த வீட்டில் நீங்க தொழுவ ஒன்றுமே ஏற்றுக்கொள்ளப்பட மாட்டான். யாரெல்லாம் சீதனம் எடுத்து அதை இன்வெஸ்ட் பண்ணி வியாபாரம் செஞ்சு கொண்டிருக்கிறீங்களோ அந்த வியாபாரம் எல்லாமே ஹராம். ஐயோ போர்சிங் தெம். பட் எஸ் என்ன செய்ய, வாட் டு டூ, யூ ஹவ் காட் யூஸ் டு இட். You have got used to it. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, what I am trying to say that we need to, you know, move forward. Look forward and see how can we change. And we have survived, alhamdulillah. It is the ni'mah or blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we need to give the proper message and maintain and develop and give the message to our young generation where they will pray for us. Where they will pray for us, they will say, oh Allah, our elders and our leaders, they have guided us. Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. This should be the dua of our youngsters who are going to come after. And instead of that, Allah is saying another way of badu'a in the Quran, inna asadatana wa kubara'ana fa adalluna sabeel. They should not curse us by saying that, oh Allah, our elders and our leaders, they have, you know, they have misled us. They have shown us the wrong path. So Allah, increase the punishment on them. You double the punishment on them. This should not be the incident. This should not be the situation. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, and in many part of the world, in many part of the world and in this country, Alhamdulillah, also on Jamiat Ulama, under the leadership of the ulama, we are striving to do many activities. What is the request we are asking from you? The request from the general public, assist the ulama. When ulamas are going wrong, you rectify them. And there are certain angles that our ulamas did not see, then you have to bring that in light of them and say there is something happening like this. Be with them. Always be with them and strive together. We can always, you know, survive and we can strive forward. If not, if we create a gap between the scholars, if we create a gap between the ulamas and the general public, always we will have a problem. Many a time, and do not speak something which you don't have knowledge about. You don't have knowledge about it, keep quiet. Many organizations are doing so many things, don't criticize. We have an attitude of criticizing every single individual. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Hajjat al-Wada, he said, every Muslim's honor and every Muslim's wealth and every Muslim's honor, wealth and blood should be protected. In the name of Islam, we are disgracing Muslims. In name of Islam, we are, you know, robbing their wealth. In the name of Islam, we are shedding blood. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every Muslim's wealth and blood and honor, it is aman. It has to be protected. Every Muslim's honor should be protected. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, we have to indulge in a constructive criticism. Criticism is good, but a constructive criticism. What does it mean constructively? You need to be part of the, you know, part of the work. And you criticize in such a way that how we can go forward. Just don't criticize, and in a different, any other way, where we will bring that organization or those people down and, you know, keep them away and create a gap between them. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, this is the time where our lot of youngsters, in a many way they have been affected. When it comes to so many elements, so we need to guide them, we need to target them, and how we can create. I am saying this, if for Muslims in this community, we need to create a media center. In that media, the ulamas and scholars, the professionals, to sit there and monitor what is the message is given to our young children. I can clearly tell you, MTV, Sirasa and all these things, spoiling our young minds. It's creating immorality. It can be in any means. And you see the advertisement, the marketing field, it's publishing immorality. The modesty is taken away. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, at this time, in this era, we need to counter-attack that. How can we give the proper message? A media unit should be created. Every paper should be screened. I tell you, for last past week, when was the one Hollywood singer, a female singer, when she died, every single day, it was an article about her. It is ingraining a wrong message in our young children's mind. Every single day, and last day it was disgusting, and she has dead and gone, and there was a Muslim lady, a Muslim, you know, person who was fighting against, I don't want to mention his name, and they criticized and saying that he had a bad affair and bad impression and thought about this young girl when she was young. And what are we doing? What are we promoting? I took the mobile phone. I called that media paper. I asked them, what are you doing? Why are you writing this? What is the benefit it's going to give our young children in this country? By reading about that lady, by reading about that lady's life, what is the benefit our youngsters going to get? He said, you know, simple words, if we write that, the paper sells well. If we write that in our paper, that paper sells well. My dear sisters, brothers, everyone has become hungry lions who are just acquiring wealth. So we need to counter-attack. As Muslims for 1,000 years we have survived, do we have an ethically maintained newspaper? Do we have, can we sit with our own children and read a newspaper? If you take the chapter of life, you see the naked women. How can we love our gays? Are we so weak in this country? We are strong, we can do. Why I'm saying this, and among that company who's writing, 20% of the employees are Muslim. They are the best, you know, writers. If you see them, our Muslim young girls, our sisters are writing, they are the best, you know, journalists. They have been coming in top 10 in the country. Why can't you? I'm not saying a paper should be used to promote only Islam, but it should promote ethical behavior in society. Ethical behavior, immodesty should be taken away. When West is trying to introduce immodesty and immorality, we Islam and Muslims should fight against and introduce and give the message of morality and haya and modesty in society. You know what has happened? The media force is so strong. Naturally, our nature is that when we see someone naked, we look at them and laugh. That is what the nature. You know how the West is, you know, changing that mind? A man who is dressed well, decently, who is half naked, looking at him and laughing. He is not civilized. He is not civilized. See, he doesn't know how to dress. I know how to dress. And you know, same paper. Why I am saying this? This is what our general public is reading. In this country, when it comes to Colombo, this is what our youngsters and all the professionals there, all of you know about it. I'm saying, when you take a newspaper, can you maintain your iman? Can you protect your own iman? Can you lower your gaze? The information, what it gets to you. What are they trying to do? They are improving and they are spreading immorality and in society. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, why I am giving this a thought that some people might be here who can come up with it. And every Muslim house, we need to give them a message. Yes, what is happening in the country? Yes, true. But in an ethical way, in a moral way, in a proper way. And you know, the past few years, there are papers, 160 Muslim missionaries were sent away. In Sunday Times, it came in the headline. When it was, the problem was resolved, that came in a small article inside in the middle. A small article. This is how the media is manipulating certain things. When a Muslim does something. And you know what I'm saying? There are prostitutes. Have been brought to this country, legally, given license in that name and they have been brought. If the government can give license to prostitution, why can't they give for people? If government can give visa, that's what I'm trying to say. We don't know about this. Nobody speaks about it. Other day, in Kalpiti police, they called so many, you know, workers, prostitute workers, and what is the, you know, crime they have said? They have come with a not proper visa. Visa is permitting them to do that. Visa is permitting them to do that. From Korea, from China, from Vietnam, they're importing immorality. They're spreading this. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, we Muslims always have to fight against it. When the Adhan has been stopped to call from the, you know, loudspeaker, more than that we can call the Adhan, it's not compulsory for us to call Adhan in, you know, loudspeaker. A Muslim knows the time he should come to the masjid. Even if he hears Adhan, he doesn't hear the Adhan. But it is the responsibility of every Muslim. When he sees a vice and evil act is spreading in the society, he has to stand against that. So my respected brothers and elders in Islam, I have taken your time, I am giving this message. How can we convert this? We need this network and we need this, you know, IT information technology, but how can we spread moral? How can we spread ethical behavior? How can we spread modesty in this? May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the iman and taqwa, where we will be able to maintain and implement iman and taqwa in every part of life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength that we will be able to fight all the evil that is, you know, affecting our community and society. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
For more lectures, visit SLH.